for him. Take a works. Eventually it will.
Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Hey.
All right, it's recording something somewhere, I believe.
You can always, if you can upload it to Anchor too. You can record outside Anchor and upload it onto there, I believe.
That's my plan, yeah.
And then it'll go everywhere you need it to, in theory.
Yeah. Am I recording this right now? Is this? Yeah, it's recording right now. It's actually, it's like recording my entire screen at the moment, but whatever. I just have to rip the audio off of it.
Okay. Sounds
look,
awesome.
Look, I'm jerry-rigging this thing here. I'm a little frustrated. I'm trying not to lose my cool.
You're so good under pressure.
I just get frustrated by nerds.
Okay.
This is a nerd who screwed this up for me.
My mindset's not great at the moment either.
Although
I'm a bit aggravated too.
Although in theory, if this actually works well, I can go back to recording with my real microphone. So.
Yeah, I could probably be on my computer right now too. I'm doing it through my phone.
Yeah,
which is down to.
I'm on the computer. So.
Yeah, I'm on my. I didn't even think to answer it. Well.
No. I don't want to do anything more. Let's just see if we can get this recorded on some level for like.
I'm not going to change anything. I'm just thinking out loud.
I don't understand.
Because my battery's at like 50% on my phone, and the way you talk, it'll probably be dead before we get through this first story.
True.
Welcome to MMA and Stuff on HalfGuarded.com. My name is Matt. That's Mike. This is about the, I don't know, 20th time we've tried to record this show.
Tried to call you like an hour and a half ago. So.
Yeah, I got tied up for a minute, and then we just spent an hour trying to get this working. I don't know what the issue was. This thing had worked beautifully every time we used it. It's
the Jews.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
It's always so this past weekend, we had, not weekend, it's in the middle of the week. Did you see any of PFL 7?
Maybe.
Well, I'm going to tell you a little story here, because I saw the main event. The guy's like, I got busted open, and they stopped the fight after the second round. Do you remember that?
No. Did Kayla fight on this show? Or
no, I think that was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, you know what? Did I watch it? I recorded it and did not watch it yet, so I'm turning it
all right
on now.
Let me tell you about the main event. This is pretty good. This was the show we were making fun of that had no names on it at all.
Oh,
in the main event.
When we make fun of shows that don't have any names on them, I also think of this upcoming UFC pay-per-view.
There, Spellino Rama needed a second-round stoppage or better in the main event of PFL 7 to sneak into the promotional's inaugural light heavyweight playoffs. Through luck and a little bit of controversy, that's exactly what he got. I just want to tell you this story because I find it amusing. Rama, the former WSOF heavyweight champ, pulled a rabbit out of his hat to secure a second-round TKO victory via doctor stoppage over Jamie Abdallah on Thursday night in Atlantic City. Because of the PFL's point format, both Rama and Abdallah needed either a first or second round finish to land a playoff spot. That desperation was on display early as Rama and Abdallah engaged in a bloody firefight that saw both men swing with reckless abandon throughout the opening round. The pace then slowed in the second as Rama seized momentum by swelling up Abdallah's left eye with punches and merely sealed the deal with a series of close rear naked choke attempts.
Hold on. As I've turned this thing on, they just flashed on screen Rama and Abdul, like it's like a head-to-head where they're from and all this stuff.
Yes.
And Abdallah is from New Zealand and Rama is from Canada, in case anybody thought there was a chance that the story would be normal.
There would be no climactic resolution to the back-and-forth war of attrition, though. Because of the damage to Abdallah's eye, the cage-side physician called a hot halt to the contest between the second and third round against the wishes of Abdallah. That meant Rama, who seconds earlier had believed his playoff hopes had slipped away, instead scored enough points with the TKO stoppage to sneak into the back door of the PFL light heavyweight postseason as the number 7 seed.
Mike Kyle is on my television set.
In a bizarre bit of irony, Mr. Coughlin, the man whose spot Rama took in the playoff bracket was former Bellator champ Brandon Halsey, who defeated Rama in similar fashion via doctor stoppage due to a cut between the second and third rounds of PFL 2. However, PFL 2 took place in Illinois rather than New Jersey. Because of discrepancies in the rule books between the two commissions, Halsey's victory was officially ruled a TKO stoppage at 1 second of round 3. That small difference ended up being the deciding factor in Halsey and Rama's point totals for the season.
That's incredible.
That's so good.
If this was a real sport and a real company with real fighters, this would be one of the craziest things that's ever happened in the history of the sport. Instead, it's just another reason to laugh at athletic commissions.
Nobody even knows. Like, nobody even knows this happened. But the funnier part is the guy, Halsey, beat this dude, Rama, by basically TKO at the end of the second. He wasn't allowed to continue in the third. But because the two states view that differently, Illinois and New Jersey, I guess, he ends up getting knocked out of the playoffs when the guy he beat essentially did the same thing he did.
Yeah, no, they really should, we're not exactly thinking that anybody involved in this process really thought out the tiebreaker scenarios and all that shit. Like, this isn't the World Cup where they have, like, 37 different things. Like, they all probably figured, like, they get a point for a knockdown, a point for a submission, and whoever has the most points wins. Eh. What a great company. What a great
company. Yeah, it's pretty good.
I mean,
it's pretty good.
I guess this is something that you'd see in PFL. I can't think of... Yeah, nobody else would have this weird shit happen. That would torture me, but...
Yeah, they don't really do tournaments, although I do like...
They do have a tournament right now.
Their welterweight tournament coming up with Rory McDonald, who's also getting a middleweight title shot like a month before, and he's their welterweight champ in the tournament also. So every fight he has for like the next 6 months will be title fights until he loses.
What's going to be great is when he beats their middleweight champion
and
then goes back down to welterweight, and their middleweight champion then gets entered into the heavyweight tournament and wins that thing.
Or he won't be able to make weight for the welterweight tournament because he fought at middleweight. Yeah.
Or he moves up to heavyweight.
That could be. That was PFL 7. Moving along.
That is way more interesting to me than anything that's going to happen in the UFC this weekend.
Oh, come on.
No, I won't come on.
You got to think positive.
I tried to think positive, and then I saw that card, and I wanted to claw my eyes out with a rusty nail covered in AIDS. All I had was the AIDS, though. No nails.
I don't think it's that bad. You think it's that bad a card?
Oh, it's going to be real bad once Darren Till don't make weight. And then Tyron Woodley says, well, I'm a fucking champion, man. I don't fight on short notice.
Yeah, they lined up Usman on purpose in case Till did miss weight.
Just watch Woodley refuse that fight.
You think he would? Like, if they offered him, like, another, I don't know, $200,000 or something, you think he would take it?
If I'm the UFC, I wouldn't offer him another $200,000. This show ain't going to make that kind of money.
If they're desperate and they're going between Tyron Woodley title defense in the main event and a Nico Montana main event, I might offer him $200,000.
Just cancel the show. They should probably cancel the show anyway. Like, anytime Tyron Woodley is the only person you have headlining, just cancel the show.
Wow. Yeah.
We'll get to that later, I'm sure.
I presume so. Did you see any of the Invicta show, FC 31?
No.
Me neither.
Okay.
All right, good. In the main event, Jander Roba defeated Mirandon.
Sure. Yeah, big win. Okay. Big win. Everybody cared. And I would have watched it, but Fatso doesn't have his fight pass activated. Also, Fatso was in town this weekend, and I was hanging out with him. So.
Oh, All In, right?
Yes.
Any thoughts on that historic event?
I didn't see it.
I know. Did you hear anything?
I didn't see a minute of it. Okay. I didn't see any build to it. I had no idea what was going on. I looked online. I thought I saw, like, the main event or something was, like, Cody Rhodes wrestling. I'm just like, okay. I was around the thing the whole time. Like, you know, I saw all these dorks. It was kind of funny. You could just see that it was a pro wrestling convention. It was just a sea of overweight white dudes with crappy beards, khaki shorts, cargo shorts and black t-shirt. Like, I have a lot of that look to me, except for I'm not overweight, and I purposely don't wear black t-shirts if I ever have cargo shorts on for that reason. But yeah, no, I'm happy for all the people there, though. I really am. I think that they all got to enjoy one another and find, like, their place, and that's a good thing in the world.
To me, it's it's an interesting story. It shows, like, the power of the internet and how media is changing. Like, bigger picture, besides this one indie show, it's like nobody besides WWE has drawn 10,000 people in the States for pro wrestling since WCW went out of business. You know what I mean? Like, it's impressive. It's 20 years almost.
And I think that, I guess Chris Jericho showed up. And
yeah.
I think, obviously, really the biggest story of all of this should be that Cody Rhodes is doing this stuff, and I'm guessing he's making money. He's probably ahead of the curve, and it may be just a little early for pro wrestling, but if I was WWE, I'd be terrified. And it's not that All In or these guys are going to, like, per se be like a challenger. They're not. The point of the story is not that there's a new challenger to WWE. People are missing that. No. The point is that the internet is such that guys can book their own shows, and if they do it right, they can make money on their own. You don't need television to promote things anymore. The internet's big enough that you can make money promoting that way if you do it right.
Right, and selling merch and everything else.
Yeah, it's the same thing as the podcast phenomena. You know, it's the same mindset, you don't need to spend a lot of money anymore.
I mean, you could even record it on Facebook Messenger.
Yeah, if you're really smart. Some dude just tried to do an Ezekiel choke to Mike Kyle.
There's only one man that can.
I know, but it's not that dude. It's Alan Carr.
Oh.
So maybe he's a training partner of that dude. Wouldn't that be something if there's just one gym? It's some Polish dude or Eastern Euro type.
Yeah, Russian guy. I wish I could think of his name.
Heavyweight.
Yeah.
Real smart.
The state of Nevada has dropped a pending criminal case against UFC welterweight Nick Diaz this past Thursday. According to Diaz's attorney, Ross Goodman, Diaz had faced three felony charges and a misdemeanor charge stemming from an alleged domestic violence incident in May. In a statement to ESPN, Goodman said Diaz is grateful the district attorney's office was fair and thoughtful in reviewing this case based on the evidence.
In other words, she said she wouldn't testify. That's it.
Diaz, 35, was arrested May 24th after a female companion accused him of choking her and slamming her to the ground during an altercation causing a hip injury. A grand jury failed to indict Diaz last month. However, prosecutors initially intended to proceed with charges. The case was dropped just hours before Diaz was scheduled to appear before a preliminary hearing. Goodman said the accuser offered inconsistent versions of the events and didn't have injuries consistent with her allegations.
It's kind of unique. If a grand jury doesn't return an indictment, usually the prosecutors don't, like, go after the person. Like, usually you go to a grand jury kind of like as protection from having to indict someone, but to then go forward. But the prosecutor probably was just hoping to... I don't know. Who knows? I don't know any of the facts of this. And it probably sounds like justice never would have been done. And now Nick can get back to doing nothing.
I feel like Nevada doesn't like Nick Diaz very much.
I don't think that any authority figure in the world likes Nick Diaz.
Rose Namajunas is so traumatized by Conor McGregor's violent bus attack that she still can't leave her house.
Hasn't she fought since then?
She fought that next night.
Oh, okay. Yeah, real traumatic. So traumatic you successfully beat one of the greatest women in the world at fighting in a cage fight. You're a real victim there, Rose. God damn, this country sucks.
Ah, oh, don't be like that.
We're seeing way too many people just really leaning into victim stuff. And I know that's kind of like a right-wing cliche thing, but come on. Like, sometimes bad shit happens. If you feel sad about it, that's just because, you know, something weird happened. Like, you should feel like, oh, that's a bad memory. Just because you have a bad memory doesn't mean you're traumatized. Some asshole threw something at a bus? Ooh.
Her coach, Trevor Whitman, told Ariel Helwani, Rose doesn't leave her house. It's still there. She doesn't go in public places. When you're in a public place and there's people everywhere, you're going to be like, oh, my God, what could happen? Like, if you're involved in a 9/11 bombing, it's going to be hard to be in a city scenario. Every time you get in an elevator, you're going to think of it.
Oh, what? You were on a bus, not an elevator. It wasn't a bomb. It was a trolley. And it wasn't 9/11. You were on a bus, and somebody threw something at the window. And you weren't even the target of it. And get over it. Oh, my gosh. Like, I understand that people are sensitive, but I don't... I would accept this kind of reaction from someone if it was, like, my mother or anybody that wasn't a cage fighter for a living. You got to have a little bit more mental strength if you want to be a professional cage fighter than she has, except for she is world champion, so, yeah.
Thug Rose currently does not have a fight booked, and she is currently in therapy.
I feel like she should probably be in therapy for a lot of things. How about when you were 14 or whatever and you started dating Pat Barry? Maybe that's the real trauma in your life, the fact that you've been date raped for a decade or whatever. Statutory raped. Even better.
Yeah, I was going to say, you think he takes her out a lot? No. She told ESPN, when we got back home, we stayed upstairs, locked in our room because we were just paranoid about how crazy the week was. It was really tough. I'm still trying not to leave the house too much, or there will be times when I'm just like, yeah, we should just go home. Like, I just have a weird feeling. I live in a very nice neighborhood. There's nothing that really goes on around here. So for me to be, like, sketch, I'm still paranoid about everything. I have a therapist that I go see, she revealed.
This therapist just doodles on her notepad and goes home to her husband and says, you gotta hear about this fucking moron. I mean, seriously, you think that there's a crazy Irishman around every corner with a trolley that's going to be thrown at her?
She's, like, scared of... You know what probably really freaks her out? That Leprechaun movie.
Or St. Patrick's Day parades. Corned beef and cabbage at the store. Maybe,
If she goes to a restaurant and she sees, like, Guinness on tap.
Or maybe maybe just any association from anything that day. Maybe all this Russia talk sets her off because she thinks, oh, the Russians are going to get me too.
Every time she sees potatoes in the supermarket.
Yeah, or a man beat his wife.
Apparently Connor did send her a note. Were you aware of this?
No.
She claims it said, I'm sorry for what happened. And then it was like, but then he immediately went on to like justifying what he did and stuff like that. And the reasons why he did it, Nami Yunus explained. That to me was like, it really doesn't matter. I don't care what beef he's got with who. That's none of my business. I don't need to know that information. Do you know what I mean? That doesn't do anything for me. So there was an apology, and I'm a pretty cool person, and I always accept apologies. But to me, I'm like a personal person. I like face-to-face. That's how I like to handle things. I feel like anything can be worked out. You just got to talk through it as adults.
That's really what's at the heart of the story. She's not traumatized. She just wants a personal apology from Connor. Like, seriously, listen to the people that say things like that. It's always bizarre to me. Whenever somebody's like, they demand an apology and this and that. It's like, why? Just, your life shouldn't depend on how someone else acts. If Conor McGregor's a jerk, don't let a jerk get to you. That should always be your default position in life. It's just don't let them get to you. And if they do get to you, don't let them know it.
Right.
If they do know it, don't go and tell everybody that you're going to therapy because something went through a window. I mean, seriously, how... If it wasn't for the fact that I know that she's obviously had trauma in her life, I'd say how sheltered... Like, I'll say this. If this is Paige Van Zandt, I would understand. But it's not.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
I thought I lost you. It sounded weird for a second. Yeah. Did you hear any of Cowboy Cerrone on the Joe Rogan Experience?
Not yet, no.
Huh. You're going to want to listen to that. I'm surprised it didn't actually make more news considering the climate of the world right now. He told a few interesting stories. He revisited the time he called Daniel Cormier a fag. That was interesting.
Oh, no.
And I'm surprised that didn't go more places because they were drinking a little bit and it got a little... It was a lot better than the DDP interview, I can tell you that much. He also told a story about where he was in an underwater cave and almost drowned. That was pretty good. I would recommend listening to that at your leisure.
Wait.
But
did he defend the use of the word fag?
Essentially, yeah.
Of course he did.
It was one of those where, like, it has nothing to do with being gay, that spiel.
Look, I'm with you. I can understand where people are coming from that, but at this point, it's just like, why are we clinging to it? Were people in the 70s sitting around going, no. When I use the N-word, I don't mean, like, a black guy. I just mean, like, a lazy person who likes watermelon a lot. Like, it's no big deal.
The biggest news from the show was him lashing out at Jackson Wink, though. Apparently, he accused owners Greg Jackson and Mike Winklejohn of gross mismanagement. The conflict came to a head when Cerrone said he was essentially pushed out of the gym when Winklejohn chose to train his upcoming opponent, Mike Perry, for a bout at UFC Fight Night 139. Winklejohn called me and says, you know what, I thought about it, and if we don't have Perry, then I don't get paid, and I need to get paid for this. Cerrone said, basically tells me I'm no longer welcome in the gym. Winklejohn disputed the notion that Cerrone is no longer welcome, but he defended his decision to work with Perry. He claims Cerrone's behavior since starting his own gym, the BMF Ranch, has caused a deep rift at Jackson Wink. Winklejohn said Cerrone has for several years drawn training partners and coaches away from the gym to train at BMF, but hasn't contributed to Jackson Wink as a consistent team presence.
That's probably the case. This is probably just, lover's quarrel and guys got to break up. They'll get back together later. Cerrone outgrew Jackson Wink, it sounds like. And Cerrone probably doesn't really appreciate that because, you know, Donald Cerrone doesn't think a lot. I mean, when you name your reds like the big motherfucking ranch and your main thing is like months later did he bring up the F-word thing there? Or did Rogan bring it up?
I want to say Cerrone brought it up.
See, that's what I would imagine. I meant Cerrone like halfway through. And by the way, I call Cormier effect. I wasn't against gay people, you understand. I just like to use gay slurs to, you know, bring him down. It's like when Cerrone incites Mike Perry, insults Mike Perry and calls him an N-word.
Well, Mike Perry calls himself the N-word, so.
Well, yeah, but I had something there and I totally lost it. Are those two fighting?
Yes, in Denver.
Huh. When is that?
November.
I'm sure that this will all be. I don't know. How does Donald Cerrone get mad at people? You know,
Cerrone's claiming like it. They just let anybody into train. It's all about making money now. The gym's falling apart. They don't have any more good fighters. And some of that's true. Those guys have gotten older. And if you think Jackson Wink now, it's like, who's their best fighter now? Like, they used to have a stable of guys where it was like Condit and John Jones and Diego and all these really good guys. But, like, that next generation hasn't really materialized from what I can tell.
No, although, I mean, look up and down the thing. TJ Dillashaw is out on his own. Mighty Mouse has kind of been on his own forever. Connor isn't on his own, but he's kind of the only guy from SBG. Max Holloway, more or less on his own. I think we're kind of moving more towards the championship level guys doing it independent of big groups.
Yeah, they can make their own camps because they have enough money, but like, you still hear a lot about ATT and some of these other gyms, but
well, that's because they're stealing poor people from Brazil. Seriously, that's all it is. They're just the only place for these poor guys out of the favelas to go. Of course, those guys all end up leaving ATT and forming their own company about 3 or 4 years later, and they're going, wait. Here in the United States, you don't have to give away 75% of all your money just because you wrote down on a cocktail napkin? Oh, what a country.
Cerrone went on to say they didn't have the fucking balls or backbone to say it to my fucking face when I was right there with them. Cerrone said Jackson approached him separately and offered to train him at the ranch, a facility he said he started when Jackson Wink began to go downhill. Over the years, he said Jackson had regularly made the trip to the ranch to personally coach him, but in this case, Cerrone saw a blatant conflict of interest. He's like, yeah, we'll come to the ranch and sort this out. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? You tell me I can't come into the Jackson Wink gym, but you're going to backdoor and come to my house, and we're going to train to fight me while Perry's at the gym. You see everything he does, and then you come train me. Not to mention you're holding classes and he's watching. You might not be training him to beat me, but there's a lot of people there that have trained with me for fucking years.
I'm not really sure Cerrone's gripe here. Like, he didn't want to go train
he wanted
Jackson Wink. And they said, okay, we'll come train you. And they said, no, I don't want you to come train with me. Like, he's going to get everything he wants.
He wanted Perry out of the gym for this fight. I mean, that's the basic gist of it. And they wouldn't kick Perry out. They wanted to keep him. And then Cerrone was pissed. They felt like he's training there for whatever, 10, 12 years. They should have sided with him. His feelings are hurt, basically.
Yeah, I mean, this whole, like, oh, you're training him, then you're training me, blah, all these secrets. Like, your gimmick is that you just fight anyone, including your friends, and you don't have any secrets. You're Donald Cerrone. There's, like, nothing about you that's very, very secretive. We know what you're going to do. We know what Mike Perry's going to do.
He went on to talk about Michael John's influence has changed the culture at the facility, changing it from an exclusive family to an open mat where anyone who pays the daily usage fee can spar with world-class talent. With pre-fight injuries up and the team's winning percentage down, Cerrone said several fighters have started to look for the exit. Not only can someone just ring the doorbell and train, but if you're a coach, you can just coach the class. It's that asinine. I see a new striking coach, wrestling coach, or jiu-jitsu coach in there twice a week, probably.
Hey, could be the case. I don't know. Sour grapes taste sour.
Later, Winklejohn added, if I suck so bad, he would absolutely would want to fight Perry. I hope he doesn't back out of the fight now because I suck so bad.
That's really childish, but I like it.
It goes on and on. You should listen to it, but that's the basic gist of it. Cerrone was actually that was a good show.
I got it. I've been saving stuff up to listen to this week, so I'll get to it. I'm sure.
Yeah,
I had to get the DDP first. I mean,
God, that was so bad. I'll start listening. Like, I didn't listen to the Rogan one with, like, the magician on or whatever that bullshit was. Like, every once in a while, there's one, like, I have zero interest in. Other ones I'll start and see if it catches my interest. And other ones I'll just listen to the whole thing because I like the person or the topic or whatever. But DDP was so painful. Like, he was shilling so hard for people to buy his fucking yoga or whatever, his diet plan, whatever he's doing. It was rough.
Yeah, he's,
I was like one of the worst ones. One of the worst shows I feel like Rogan's done in a long time. It was bad.
Yeah, I made a half an hour. DDP's just kind of awkward, and I think he's always a worker. And
yes.
The problem is he doesn't know how to work podcasts. The gimmick of a podcast is to not be a worker. Like, the gimmick is just to be yourself, is to be nice, and like, you're supposed to give people basically like a 2 or 3 hour conversation, and then they go, hey, I'll go check this thing out. Like, you don't need to do the hard sell anymore. We all just are on our phone, we click the link, and we go, oh, okay, I'll do DDPY. Let's see how this works.
Right. I would be more apt to check it out if he wasn't pushing it so hard. If he just sounded like a normal, decent guy and told some good stories, I'd be like, oh, he was pretty cool. So I'm like, this guy is pushing so hard for me to buy his shit that it's a total turnoff and a gimmick that I'm not going to buy.
Also, think about him, like, though, in that his pro wrestling days was kind of before the truly scripted stuff and the long-form interview crap. Most of his life has pretty much been 2 or 3 minute sound bites. So he's got this, like, persona that probably works really well. Like, it's me, it's DDP. And, like, it's kind of like his shtick. And it works fine for about 5 minutes. And then you go, oh, yeah, you can stop. You're 62. Just... really? Yeah. No.
In other mature news, Chael Sonnen and John Jones are going at it on Twitter.
Yeah, what was that about? Where did that come from?
A few days ago, John Jones did an interview with a Russian outlet where he referred to Bellator's Chael Sonnen as the worst trash talker in MMA. Shouldn't come as much of a surprise that Sonnen wasn't too happy about that and decided to turn to social media to talk trash. I'm going to read you his tweets, and you're going to rate them on a scale of 1 to 10. Are you ready?
Fire away.
John John, heard your critique. Forgot you were in the business, even as a spectator.
Bleh. Two.
John John, you trash talk about as well as you exchange insurance info after traffic accidents.
It's okay, but really four, so I'd give it a 3.5.
John John, I treasure you as long as you're around. I look like a clean overachiever.
That's a 5, solid self-deprecation, but still something that I would have come up with at 3.
Jones's career, one big side effect.
That's not bad. It's kind of original. I'll give it a 6.5.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't really know how I'm rating insults on a 10-point scale anyway, so yeah.
10's the best, 1's the worst.
Well, I'm aware of how a scale works. I wasn't giving those early ones super high grades.
You spend more time on the shelf than a library book, you bum.
Sure, we'll give that like a 2. I mean, ugh.
Turn your cell phone off. USADA has GPS tracking.
Yeah, I mean, there's another 2. He's really kind of making John's point for him.
John Jones, your career took a bump in the road, and then you tried to snort it.
Does a career take a bump? I mean, you know, you hit a bump, you come to a bump, you don't take a bump.
Not feeling that one. Okay. John Jones, I heard you were not allowed at your brother's football games because you tried to snort all the lines off the field.
That's a solid dig. That's a solid. I would put that around the 7.5. Yeah, that's a good 7.5.
By the way, the times of these are all at 5:30 in the morning. John Jones had the same game plan in and out of the octagon. Hit and run.
Okay, that's not bad. I'll give that a 7.
Oh, he's doing better. All right. John Jones is celebrating Labor Day just like he does every day for the past 3 years by not working.
Okay, I like that. That's pretty good. 7.5.
What's more tainted than John Jones's?
How many of these are there?
What's more tainted than John Jones's supplements? Fedor's Pride career.
All right, that's pretty good. He's getting going now. Yeah.
Fedor is such a white, pasty lump that John Jones just tried to snort him.
Hey, he's hitting the well with the same joke, but he's getting better with it.
I believe that was his last one. I have not actually checked his actual Twitter feed. That was from an article with all of them.
That wasn't, I mean, they got okay at the end.
I feel like he started getting help at the end, because yeah. Those were chronological. Those were in order.
Yeah, I mean, those early ones were just really bad.
Like, I bet people started sending them to him.
I hope so. Either way, John Jones is the smart one here. Because he has the ability just to say, he can get under anybody's skin better than anyone. Everything he says just comes across as a self-assured dick behavior. And I'm so happy that he's dealing with the Russians now. I'm so grateful to hear John Jones going to Russia eventually.
Yeah, it's odd, isn't it?
It's perfect, man. Russia takes over everything.
It might. We'll see. Can you hear this?
Yeah. Oh, I don't hear anything now.
All right. John, he also wrote a poem about John Jones, but it's just the audio. I can't.
I wonder what Cerrone would say about that.
About?
A man writing a poem for another man.
Oh, there's 2 parts. I'm going to have to listen to this later.
He wrote a 2-part poem?
Yeah, and it's just the audio. Maybe I can find it. Hang on.
I don't think it's worth it.
Oh, it totally is. Chael Sonnen, he's so genuine. Chael Sonnen, poem, John Jones. Fuck, I spoke poem wrong. Oh, it was on UFC Tonight? Oh, that was back in 2013. Forget it. All right, moving along. Oh, speaking of good feuds, De La Hoya, Oscar De La Hoya and Ali Abdelaziz apparently having issues. De La Hoya has been rumored to essentially be refusing to sign any of Ali's fighters for his upcoming MMA show, headlined by Tito Ortiz versus Chuck Liddell 3. So Ali thought it would be a good idea to respond to these rumors on Twitter. He wrote, "Hey, I got three different people saying Oscar De La Hoya is not interested in doing business with me. But the reality, I'm not interested in guys who snort cocaine and wear short dresses. All my fighters are in real promotions, not one-offs, at Golden Boy Boxing."
What? How do people hire people like him? Like,
I know, it's baffling.
I understand that. Look, no, this one actually is kind of personal to me. Personal, you see, personal. Because as somebody who is an advocate for people for a living, I oftentimes have to bite my tongue. I don't want to, but I do. You know, I realize that there's nothing to be gained. And so the right thing to do is what's best for my client. And the best thing for your client is a payday. Even if it's a one-off promotions payday. Because, you know, the UFC can make your clients a one-off if they want to. You stupid, corrupt asshole. God, it's going to be great when he gets... I can't wait for him to... How come he's still in America? Is he a citizen? He's not a citizen, is he?
I don't know. Yeah, I can't imagine.
I think he's a dirty foreigner.
Well, he's Egyptian. He came here on... He flew here on 9/11. Seems legit.
By the way, you never want to be, like, from the Middle East and be like, my origin story starts on 9/11. Like, huh?
It's, I'm reading through some of Mike Russell's stuff. He's the guy who's, like, basically the only person who cares about Ali and is going after him. And all these other, like, MMA reporters or whatever, like, talk shit about him, like write something, do this or that. And he's, like, been feuding with, like Snowden and a bunch of people. It's pretty good.
Wait, who has been? Ali?
No, Russell. This guy, Mike Russell. Gives a shit.
Wait, Russell's also against Snowden?
Yes.
Oh, I gotta get this guy in the fucking show.
Not Edward. Jonathan.
Right. No, I understand.
He hates Edward Snowden.
No, 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 no. He's feuding with Jonathan Snowden, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
okay. I just want to make sure. Like, yes. All of a sudden, I'm like, because I was really excited about that. But if you're feuding with Edward Snowden, also kind of noteworthy. For a lot of reasons.
I'm trying to figure this out.
The idea that Edward Snowden defends Ali Abdelaziz in his honor on Twitter.
You mean Jonathan Snowden?
No, I like the idea that Edward Snowden does it.
So stupid.
He's over there with Putin being like, hey, this guy could be...
Maybe you can help me figure out this tweet. Russell wrote, somewhat related note, anyone else find it odd that an MMA promoter would provide a manager a personal mortgage? Online records indicate Ali's $500,000 mortgage was done privately through then WSOF majority owner Bruce Defick 1 year after he was allegedly fired by the promotion. The records could be incorrect, but they read as though Defick gave him two $500,000 mortgages the same day on October 21st, 2016. Two filings with successive document numbers seem to have been made. 2 years prior, Defick was the most outspoken board member wanting Ali fired.
Yeah, this all sounds totally legit. By the way, in case anybody's been paying attention, I think one of the allegations or one of the ways that they were catching Paul Manafort is this exact scam. It's a well-known trick for money launderers or whatever, where you get somebody in the United States to take out a mortgage on a house or whatever, and then you get and then you wash the cash that way because you get the clean money from the bank, and then you send the money, like the bank gets, you know, the fucking other money, something like that. It's something to do with Trump.
Russell went on, at the very least, it's a conflict of interest, especially when Ali fighters were making as much as six times what their opponents were. One could argue that inflated purses helped him pay off the debt faster. You know what's funny? After that whole WSOF thing, like, he was, like, the matchmaker and managing fighters at the same time, which is obviously a conflict of interest, that he got so involved in UFC so shortly thereafter. Like, he moved all those fighters over. I'm surprised, like, nobody in UFC was like, what the fuck's up with this guy, and kind of did something about it. Because he's got legit, like, 50-something fighters in the UFC. It's over 10% of the roster are Ali fighters at this point.
I wonder, man, and I know this is probably racist of me to say, and I think I know why it would be, but it's also blind speculation that could be right. What if Ali is just, like, the relative of some crazy rich oil person, and that's why everybody puts up with his shit? Because he's giving them all money. Because otherwise, why would you, like, he can't be that good at his job.
Right. I mean he's been in multiple fights at PFL shows. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, nothing ever seems to come of it. It's bizarre.
Maybe he's just really good at finding drugs and hookers or something. Like, he's got to have some sort of skill, right? There's got to be some reason Frankie Edgar would give him money.
I feel like a lot of people can get drugs and hookers. Those aren't, like, hard to come by, are they?
I don't know. Fighters aren't smart. Maybe they don't know this.
He also, and we talked about last week, too, where he was, like, talking about how it's bad for fighters to know how much each one makes and basically, like, shooting down a union, essentially. Which is fucking bizarre, because he would make more money unless he's got some backdoor deal with the U.S. Essentially, the claims now, the rumors are that Ali's got, like, this backdoor deal with the UFC where he gets more money if he keeps the fighters' salaries down, essentially.
Well, honest to goodness, when you realize that the last promotion is with the owner, is the promoter is just giving him money for his house, yeah, it does sound like there's a real, like, we're kind of wondering, like, why would Ali say this? This doesn't make any sense. No real agent or manager would say this about their client. This seems to hurt their business. This only would help the promoter. Oh, yeah, no, he's taking literal payoffs. Allegedly.
Speaking of strange Middle Eastern businesses, Flash Entertainment, which purchased 10% of the UFC in 2010 for what was reported at the time as between $150 and $175 million, has sold its stock to Endeavor. The deal was reported Monday by Arabian Business with a quote from Flash CEO John Licorice. John Licorice. L-I-C-K-R-I-S-H. Licorice. Licorice. Let's try that.
I like licorice. That's better.
Me too. A source at UFC confirmed to MMAfighting.com that the story was accurate. What is it?
Yeah, I think like I don't the like
word.
It. Like,
Twizzlers, worst candy ever.
No, I know what the
garbage.
I know it's a Twizzler. Like, I don't eat them, and I don't know what they're made out of. It doesn't seem natural.
Well, it's like an anise flavor, isn't it?
But, like, what is it? Like, do they make it out of? I mean, I know sugar's involved, but I don't really... It's not like a natural thing to... Like, nature doesn't have, like, stretchy, gooey food.
Well, I think licorice is like a root. That's what gives it that flavor, and then it'd be essentially like, however they make gummy bears and shit. It's just got that licorice flavor.
Gummy bears are made out of animal fat, I think.
Or it's some kind of gelatin or something. I don't know.
What a weird show this is. Imagine there's going to be, like, one guy in a decade when you know, they're listening through all this because one of us has done something that requires him to go through all of his statements in life. And he's going to be like, you know, they really did talk about food a lot. It's weird.
Let's say we just go where the conversation takes us. The deal was reported Monday by Arabian Business. No sale price was released for the purchase. Endeavor had purchased the majority interest in UFC in the summer of 2016 from Lorenzo and Frank Fertitta, the majority owners, outbidding a number of investment firms and TV networks, with a sale price giving the company a valuation of $4 billion.
So at the time, they probably got about $400 million.
At the time, Dana White had noted that Flash did not sell its stock, but expected at some point it would happen. Last year, Endeavor purchased the 5.8% of the company that Lorenzo and Frank had retained in the initial sale, selling the stock at a price valuation of $5 billion.
Okay.
White had just recently claimed that with its new television and streaming deal with ESPN, the company was now worth $7 billion. If Endeavor did value the company at that price, the Flash Entertainment percentage would be worth $700 million. Although, even if the value was at the level of last year's for Teeter buyout, that would be $500 million, a sizable profit for an eight-year investment. So they might have gone from like $150 million to $700 million in 8 years.
Hey, look, fucking praise be to Allah, you know?
After almost 10 years, the time was right to exit that investment, Licorice said.
Yeah.
We've tried a few, and it is always a give and take. There's what's on the piece of paper, and then there's the reality of making it work in practice. And the larger the organization, the more challenging it can be. Flash signed on to be a silent partner in the UFC, and the belief was that would lead to UFC events on a regular basis in the country, but UFC has only run twice in Abu Dhabi, a pay-per-view in 2010 and a fight night in 2014.
It's weird. Weird that they were involved in this whole thing anyways. And
I forget why they did that. Were they trying to expand at the time? They needed that $150 million in cash for something. But I don't remember.
The first time they ever really got money at all. Like, that was the first time they ever probably saw, you know, a substantial money come in. And I also kind of wonder if they did that because it helped create an official valuation. So when they wanted to borrow or whatever, they had something.
Yeah. What else we got going on? Oh, have you heard about BJ Penn's next fight against Ryan Hall?
Yeah.
It's rumored. It's not official. BJ Penn should not be allowed to fight in cages anymore.
I know he should fight.
I don't understand, like, why there's athletic commissions or what the point of any of this is if you're going to let BJ Penn in a cage. I know Ryan Hall can't strike, and he hasn't fought in 2 years, and he's good on the ground or whatever, but it's like they found somebody who hasn't fought in years and isn't very good for Penn to fight, but it's like, why bother? Why put him out there at this point? He just gets destroyed every time. He lost to Dennis Seaver.
That's right.
In his last fight. So stupid.
It's never good when the best argument somebody can come up with is, well, the other guy also has not done anything in years, so maybe he also sucks. But no, I know exactly who BJ should fight. There's only one fight to make for him, and it's a perfect fight. BJ Penn should fight Kazushi Sakuraba. I think that'd be fascinating.
At what weight?
Anyway, I'm sure BJ can make whatever. You know, probably in the 175, 180-ish, whatever.
He's been fighting at 145 the last 4 years.
Yeah, but you got to give Sakuraba a little back. Can't walk.
BJ is 1-7-1 in his last 9.
That is unbelievable. It's so sad.
Jake Ellenberger's had a better last 9 fights than him.
I mean, I guess this is what happens. A guy looks unbeatable forever, and then next thing you know, you look and he's lost 7 out of 9 fights or whatever.
He's won one fight since the first Frankie Edgar loss in 2010. He beat Matt Hughes by knockout.
So he's
and that was a fucking 20-second knockout. Yeah. Those fights where he was fighting like Nick and Rory and stuff, and he was so like so much smaller and just took those beatings. It was like those fights were like hard to watch, both of them, because he started off good. He looked good in the first round in both those fights, the Rory and the Nick fight. Then he just got his ass kicked for literally 10 minutes.
Yeah, the Rory one in particular was bad.
They were brutal. So they were brutal. And then you see like a guy like Yair Rodriguez destroy him. And you're like, it's over. Then he comes back and loses to Dennis Seaver. Like, who's, I don't know if Dennis Seaver's fought again since then. He's old as fuck. Dennis Seaver's 40.
Think about the fact that Yair Rodriguez sucks so bad as a fighter. Even though he was able to beat Jay Ben, he was actually fired for being too much of a coward at one point in his life. And that man is better at fighting than BJ Penn. By the way, I saw was not private, so I can say it. On Facebook the other day, Oliver Kopp, you see his story talking about Connor? But Connor's a fucking madman. And, you know, Oliver does all the German translating over there in Germany for UFC. Mm-hmm. And he said that when he ran into Connor days before Connor fought Dennis Seaver, and it was just in private with nobody around, no cameras, and Connor said, "I'm going to fuck up your boy." He's like, "There's something wrong with Connor."
Was that in Boston? That was the Boston fight.
Yeah.
Huh. That's interesting.
Connor doesn't turn it off, man.
Connor's? I'm a Connor fan, in spite of all his stupid shit.
Some people are real.
Like, here's the thing. Like, there's only a few fights. Like, I would probably still get excited for Brock at this point, but, like, besides Connor, there's not a lot. John Jones, maybe, depending on who he's fighting. But there's, like, only a couple guys where I'm like, I get pumped to see him fight, and Connor's one of them. It's like, when he fights, it's like a momentous thing, especially now because he never fights anymore. It's like, he's going to fight fucking Khabib, who's, like, this killer, undefeated. And it's just, I get excited for it because it's like, if he wins this fight, it's good for everybody. It's good for MMA. It's good for UFC. You want to see the sport grow. And it's like, will he fight again? What'll happen? And so much hinges on it, where it's like, what's he going to say after the fight? Like, I get pumped up for Connor. I do. And maybe I'm a mark, but I also recognize that he's really good at what he does, and he can also fight. Like, the guy's good in the cage. Despite what everybody says, all the bullshit, he's good when it comes time to fight. He's got that one Diaz loss, but the guys he's beaten, like Aldo and Poirier and, you know, Eddie Alvarez, he's beaten all the best guys in the world by, like, knocking them out cold. Nobody does what he does. So I'm excited to see Connor back in a month. But maybe I'm an idiot.
No.
More than BJ Penn. Fuck!
Oh, yeah. Now, the thing about, you're not a mark. Like, a mark is somebody that believes that pro wrestling is real, and that's it. Anything else is just like, what are you? No, you're somebody that enjoys something. You're a fan. Like, you're happy. That makes you happy.
Yeah, people would, I think I would be considered like a Connor fanboy, but I don't think I am. I think I'm just realistic. He's one of the most entertaining guys in MMA, and he's really good at fighting, too. There's nobody really like that besides him, you know? And I just don't think people really recognize that or can admit that, but whatever.
Yeah, no, look, the guy's amazing, and also, I think it's because I'm getting older. Everything in life is because I'm getting older, but, like, the idea of somebody, like, saying to me, oh, you're just a fanboy, as if that's a bad thing. It's like, yeah, you're right. I have things in life that make me happy, and I like to enjoy them.
Right, but I'm not going out singing and waving the Irish flag either.
Oh, yeah. No,
you know what I'm saying? There's a happy medium in there somewhere. Another potential fight, I guess the Penn Hall fight's not signed, but it's rumored. Sage Northcutt and Logan Paul have been going at it on Twitter.
This is going to fucking happen. It's going to fucking happen.
Well, I saw that Sage was on Ariel's show, and his contract with the UFC is actually up right now. And he claims his managers are talking to different promotions as we speak.
They should fight on the Oscar De La Hoya pay-per-view.
That would be good.
Perfect. Also, here's the thing, though, actually. If they did fight on the undercard, I think that would actually attract a lot of attention. Logan Paul's a thing.
He is a thing. I agree. So basically, there were rumors that the UFC might be interested in Logan Paul. And he wrote on Twitter, "The thought of securing a fight in the UFC is exciting. Can finally use my wrestling background. But I hear some other celebrities, athletes want to catch these hands first." Sage Northcutt replied to Logan Paul on Twitter and said, "Let me know when you want to catch these hands," with a fist emoji. And then Logan Paul made a meme and wrote back, "Bring it on, North Butt." And Sage wrote back, "It has begun."
It's a perfect feud for Sage Northcutt also. Sage Northcutt has to feud with the guy whose creativity maxes out at Sage North Butt. That's exactly who Sage should be. Like, you can't expose Sage to anything harsher than that. He couldn't handle it. This is exactly what it should be. Also, him saying Sage North Butt There are so many people out there that would tell me to my face that is funnier than anything I've ever said in my life. They are such big fans of this moron. There's probably millions of people that if I told them, you know, Sage Northcutt, it's kind of a dumb joke they'd give. You're a monster. You don't understand anything about the complexities of jokes and desecrating cemeteries.
Bring it on, Northcutt. Oh, only got 2,000 likes. 273 retweets, though. I don't think he's that big on Twitter. I think he's more YouTube and Vine back in the day, although he does have 5 million followers on Twitter, too. Holy shit.
I find something really, like, it's kind of, we've jumped the shark at MMA, and this, maybe this is the true end of it, but when you hear things like Logan Paul saying stuff like, I get to use my wrestling background. You're a YouTuber. You're not a fighter. Does he know he's not a fighter?
He was, like, a good high school wrestler. He was, like, in the state championship or something. Like, I guess he was a good wrestler.
I'm sure he wrestled at one time. He's not a fighter. Stop saying things like, use my wrestling background. You're a YouTube guy. Your job is to... I don't really know what your job is, but you're really good at it. But you're not a fighter.
We do have UFC 228 this weekend. If we go with your opinion, none of these guys are either fighters. So main event is Woodley versus Till. This is in Dallas, Texas at American Airlines Center Saturday night. We've got two title fights on this card.
Gosh, I forgot it was Texas. There
could be some weight issues, I'm guessing. Tyron Woodley defending the welterweight championship against Darren Till is your main event. If you remember back, Till missed weight in his controversial win over Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, where neither man really threw any strikes. And Tyron Woodley is coming off a win over Wonderboy?
Damian Maia,
yes.
So it's been a while for Woodley, and meanwhile, Darren Till has missed weight in two of his last four fights. And not just missed it by a little, missed it by quite a lot. And he's coming in on short notice. It's the first time he's ever fought in the United States. He really hasn't fought very far away from his home ever. Like his career, when he lived in Brazil, he fought there. Otherwise, he's never fought outside of Europe. He's always been really short. This is a big deal for him. So he's probably going to miss weight. That's going to be really funny. We're going to have Nico Montano headlining a pay-per-view. And we're going to see just how much money a company can lose. How is Trump not still involved in the UFC? Like, what the hell?
So you think if Till misses weight by a few pounds, let's say he comes in at 173, would Woodley fight him in a non-title fight?
I think he comes in at 175, and I think Woodley then demands that he be under 190 at 12 hours later or whatever, and he'll still miss it. Or Texas will write down the agreement but use the wrong language or numbers, and it won't count.
Okay. Do you see Woodley fighting Usman if Till misses weight?
No, I do not. I think that there will be some sort of, again, there will be some sort of like hubbub, and they're going to give like Till like, okay, but you got to weigh some other weight in 12 hours, then Till will miss that, and then it'll be too short notice for Kamar Usman.
Okay. If the fight actually happens, who do you like in the fight, Woodley or Till?
Woodley.
Why?
He is a better athlete. He has got more experience, and I think that he doesn't have to worry about cardio at all. In the sense of, you know, Till will have to worry about cardio. He's big. He's gassed in the past. He's only fought the five rounds at one time with Stephen Thompson. This is a big deal for him. And Woodley, you know, he knows how to go five rounds, and he's a wrestler. He's not going to get gassed in the arms. To me, Till is all size right now. He's very good. You know, nothing against the guy, but I think Woodley is probably underrated. And plus, it's an American wrestler versus a guy from England who then spent his formative years in Brazil. Like, come on. This is going to the ground, and Woodley's going to beat the shit out of him.
In the co-main event,
You have no opinion on the fight?
You didn't ask.
What's your opinion on the fight?
I hope Till misses weight because I think it'll be hilarious. There's just something so funny that you can get a title shot nowadays coming off a controversial win where you missed weight and no one even knows your name. Like, it's not like Till's a big draw.
And
like, obviously,
an interim
the champion. That's true also. I forgot about Kobe Covington.
An interim champion who just visited the President of the United States. Like, of all the interim champions they've ever had, Kobe has done the most with it.
Right. It's baffling. The whole situation's weird. They must like Till for whatever reason. If they think he can be like the next Connor or some shit, I don't know what they think. But obviously somebody in that company likes Darren Till a lot and they're pushing him hard. He's 25. I mean, Woodley's older. I think he's 35, 36. I always look at that and, you know, at some point Woodley's going to be old. He's 36 now. He's born in 82. So, you know, you never know. Till hits hard, he's big, but I think the experience is an issue, and he's never fought a guy as good as Woodley or has that wrestling background that Woodley does. So I would favor Woodley, too.
Yeah, I mean, look, Woodley survived to Stephen Thompson just as well, and he's not a striker.
Sure.
And
right.
He can wrestle. And also, you know, I ain't betting against a black guy anymore. You know, like a white guy from England versus a black guy? Come on. I got to go with the black guy.
About Nico Montano versus Valentina Shevchenko.
Valentina,
do you remember back Montano is the flyweight champ.
Yeah, no. Shevchenko is going to win this fight.
These might be the longest odds in UFC history. Shevchenko is a minus 1,400 favorite.
Check some Aranda's fights.
Yeah, I think the home fight got up to 12.
Also, by the way, I'm very confident in Shevchenko winning. I strongly think she's going to win. I wouldn't put it at 1,400. No way.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Like, I would almost never put any non-opening card fight in the UFC. It should just never be 1,400. That's insane. So much happens in this sport.
What should the odds be in the Ryan Hall BJ Penn fight?
Pick 'em.
Don't pick 'em.
+700 and +700.
I also like Shevchenko in this fight. I don't think Montano is very good.
Shevchenko in history is the most irrelevant champion ever.
Jermaine Durand to me is pretty good too.
Oh, that's true. Gal, hey, when half of your female champions are forgotten.
Who's that other one? Evan Tanner, too. But anyway, at featherweight, we've got ZM Punk versus Brandon Davis. This was supposed to be Yair Rodriguez months ago. Then he got fired. Then he got injured. So we got Brandon Davis in there against Zabit, who I'm guessing is managed by Ali Abdelaziz.
Yeah, probably. Like, I really hope that I hope we see the upset here. I like that idea of some, like, badass who's just being like, yeah, fuck it. Like, I like the guy who's willing to take on the dude that is terrifying everyone but has no name. Like, that takes – it's one thing to be like, I'll fight anybody, but, like, all you're doing is fighting name guys, or I'll fight that guy on short notice and he's a big-time star. It's like, nobody takes on ZM Punk, period, let alone on short notice. So it's going to be a painful loss, but, you know, at least he's trying.
Let's see. Brandon Davis, Killer B. He was born in 1990. He's coming on. He's coming off a loss to Enrique Barzola.
Yeah.
In May.
I'm not saying he's going to win. I'm just saying I hope he does.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to. I think this is going to be bad. Although ZM Punk may be getting to that, like, lazy stage already where, like, you know, the guys start to fight a little too perfectly and the fights get a little boring, too technical.
Yeah, those Dagestanis are always known for being lazy.
Oh, yeah, they are, you know.
Also on the main card, we have Jessica Andrade versus Karolina Kowalkiewicz. Possible number one contender fight at strawweight if Rose can ever get out of the house.
Yeah, I like, and I'm a big Jessica Andrade fan, so I'll root for her.
I was talking to a guy I work with Do you know her what her nickname is?
No.
Bate Estaca. And this guy I work with is Brazilian.
Okay,
and
I'm trying to figure out, like, this is, like, just, like, some random dude. Like, I picture some guy looks like me at your work just talking to you, be like, and yeah, her nickname is, and you're like, how do you know that?
Well, the funny part is this guy I work with, I've worked with him as long as I've worked at the restaurant, but he's worked there off and on for literally, like, 25 years. He's wicked biased to all the Brazilian fighters. It's like classic. He's like, Brazil has the best fighters in the world. I'm like, that's not, like, there's no Brazilian champion even right now. He's like, Chris Cyborg. I'm like, there's one, but that's like a bad example. Like, if
so, it doesn't really count if you're a champion in a division that doesn't exist.
But he goes, oh, on that next show, he's like, Bate Estaca's fighting. I'm like, who? Like, I couldn't even make out, like, what he was saying. And apparently, Bate Estaca is, like, a tool that, like, hammers, like, pylons, like, big, like, telephone pole sorts of things into, like, the ocean for, like, docks.
Okay.
That's her nickname. Like, it's really weird.
Everything like, about I that story is bizarre.
I had no idea this existed or was a thing. Like, I've never seen one of these in my life. I've lived on the ocean forever. But it's basically the thing that hammers the poles for a dock into the ocean.
But even if I acknowledge them, if somebody had asked me, I probably would have thought, okay, yeah, I guess there probably is. Like, I've seen those poles sticking up or whatever. Like, there must be some machine. But how could your nickname be that machine's name? Like, that's not like it's a well-known thing. Your nickname should be something relatable. There should be something like, does everybody in Brazil know about the machine that pounds poles into the ocean? Is that a part of Brazilian culture?
I don't know. But I think the idea is she hits really fucking hard. Like, that thing that pounds the things into the ocean. I don't know what those things are called. I'm calling them pylons, but like, I'm probably making that up.
Maybe it's
they're poles, like
telephone
poles.
Like, maybe
almost.
It's kind of like an oil rig, and they're so familiar with them. Or something like an oil rig jackhammer's down there. Maybe it's just like a Brazilian jackhammer, the jackhammer of the sea. I mean, look at the rest of that card. You can't find anything else on that card. Like,
no,
it's a dearth of heaven.
No, my problem is I'm in like the Portuguese Wikipedia, and I can't find a translation of this. English. That's my language, right? Pile driver. The English version of it is pile driver.
Oh.
It's a device used to drive poles into soil to provide foundation support for buildings or other structures. The term is also used in reference to members of the construction crew that work with pile driving rigs.
What's really great is that this is a tool. It is commonly known. I'm just so ignorant that I didn't know that's what a pile driver was.
I just picture Jerry Lawler dropping guys on their head when I hear pile driver.
I think once a week at least, I grab a pillow, like a reading pillow, and I'll do like a sit-out tombstone on it, like Owen Hart and Steve Austin.
What is a reading pillow?
Like a big one you'd sit up on, like in bed.
Interesting. Okay, like a long one? Like that sort of thing.
I don't know. You can sit up with it, and like it's
It's almost like a chair sort of thing with arms.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have one of those. Yeah. I don't really believe in reading.
Well, reading believes in you.
So yeah, I'm looking up pictures on
Facebook
Wikipedia.
Talk about reading the other day or today actually. It was this guy's bitch. Okay. Like a school teacher. It's like one-third of teenagers say they don't read for pleasure anymore. And he's like, they're all missing out and blah, blah, blah. It's like, first of all, it's impressive as fuck that two-thirds of teenagers read. I don't believe that for a second.
Right.
Also, it's reading. If somebody doesn't enjoy reading, okay, who cares? Like,
it is weird.
I like reading, but like, okay, if somebody doesn't like to read books, why does everybody think like, oh, you know, you really should read books. You should read more.
The idea is it, like, keeps your mind sharp or active or whatever, you know? I think that's the theory behind it, but I don't know if that's true.
I don't know. People are like, oh, it's more immersive and it's more magical. It's like, it's fine. It's great. But if you enjoy it, great. If you don't enjoy it, I don't know why anybody cares. If somebody else doesn't enjoy doing something,
yes.
Who cares? Let them do it. If he just wants to watch Wheel of Fortune all day, there's nothing wrong if I fucking watch Wheel of Fortune all day.
Wikipedia is so weird. They've got, like, history of pile drivers. There's diesel hammer. There's the vertical travel lead systems, hydraulic hammer, hydraulic press-in, vibratory pile driver / extractor.
That's her favorite
there's a piling.
Kind.
There's her a piling rig.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, totally. This is a weird show. We also have another fight on the main card. Abdul Razak Al-Hassan versus Nico Price. Nico Price is coming off that win where he hammer-fisted the side of that guy's head while he had him, like, in his guard. Remember that?
No.
Oh, Randy yes, Brown, he like, had him, like, on his ankle.
Yeah, had him, like, a go-go Plata and shit.
It's fucking weird. Never saw that finish.
And now he's fighting that guy.
Yeah.
I bet he's managed by Ali.
Abdul Razak Al-Hassan.
Actually, I do know that name. He's a striker. He's got sharp elbows for some reason. That always stands out about him.
His nickname is Judo Thunder, and he's from Ghana.
Okay, maybe I'm thinking of somebody else.
He's coming off two straight wins, both against Sabah Homasi.
I like that he's coming off two wins in a row against the same nobody.
Right, it's really weird. He fought him at UFC 218 and UFC 220.
Oh, wait.
It must have been a weird finish.
I think the first one ended with like a headbutt or something like that.
It says Herb Dean ended the fight prematurely at UFC 218. So they ran it back. And he won by knockout.
I mean, look, fights end prematurely all the time. I don't think we should be judged if things happen. Like, it's natural. Nobody should be ashamed of a fight ending early. Some people think it's a compliment, you know?
On the prelims on FX, in the main event, we've got Carla Esparza versus Tatiana Suarez.
Hey, at least Tatiana Suarez. I'm more excited for Tatiana Suarez than I am for anything but the main event and CM Punk. So she's number four. Let's see how she
Andrade Kolokiewicz isn't bad. It's not
true,
a bad
but I'm more excited for Suarez.
I understand.
Did you see where the movie The Meg is now made more money than Solo?
I have no idea what we're talking about.
The movie, there's a movie called The Meg about a gigantic shark. It was starring Jason Statham. And it is it has drawn more money at the box office than the last Star Wars movie, Solo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. There's another guy I work with who said, I haven't seen most Star Wars movies because I'm weird, but the last one where, Luke Skywalker, was being a dick or whatever, ruined all the Star Wars movies for him. Is that, true for people?
No, it's fine. There's nothing there to be bothered about. It's just, look, I understand that there are some legitimate gripes that, people get afraid, oh, it's going to be too social justice warrior-y, and, there's, fine. But it's Star Wars fans. These people have complained about every. These people got upset when what's his face, the creator dude, George Lucas
changed
some of the special effects and just made them better. He made the movies better, and they got upset. So yeah, they're gonna get upset by everything that happens. It doesn't matter. And they all have all their opinions, and they built this shit up for 30 friggin' years and shit like that. And they're just people that like to complain. And I think maybe some of the problem is that people are getting exposed to nerd culture, aren't used to nerds. They think that nerds and nerd culture are the same thing. It's like, no, nerd culture is not the same as nerds. Nerds are that way for a reason. They're socially weird. They don't know how to deal with things. They get hung up on point. They're kind of like autistic Aspie types. That's why they go on message boards and they argue about what color lightsaber Luke Skywalker should have. So don't be surprised when you confront these people and you think that their cool thing is fun. And you go, oh, but these people are kind of weirdos. Like, yeah, they've always been weirdos and they're always going to be weirdos.
Aljamain Sterling versus Cody Stamann.
Don't care.
Cody Stamann's good. Jimmy Rivera versus John Dodson.
That's not a bad fight, actually. Kind of on the card.
Yeah, prelims, yeah. That's what I'm saying. If it had Yair or Zabit fighting somebody decent, it would be all right.
It'd be okay.
Charles Bird versus Darren Stewart. On UFC Fight Pass, we have Diego Sanchez versus Craig White.
Diego Sanchez can get back in the column of where the fuck has he been?
I don't know. Let's find out. I feel like he's coming off a bad loss to who's that crackhead? The heroin guy. The guy who makes fun of women and wants to see him fight topless.
Matt Brown?
Thank you. That guy.
He's not the old, or it could have been Court McGee. There's been a number of ex-heroin users in the UFC.
Remember Diego got dropped by that...
the elbow.
Yeah, it was brutal.
That was like last November?
Probably, yeah.
Now, if I got that right, I'm awesome.
I'm having computer issues here. Jim Miller versus Alex White. That's a fight.
Sure.
I can't believe Jim Miller's still allowed to fight. Yeah. Irene Aldana versus Lucy Pudilova. Jared Brooks versus Roberto Sanchez. And Jeff Neal versus Frank Camacho. How do you feel about people who spell Jeff G-E-O-F-F?
If you're a cage fighter, I really don't approve. That's old. You got to be British and super classy. That's it. Like you, if you spell your name that way, you always dress well and you're unfailingly polite, if not a little snarky.
Donald Trump, moving on to stuff. He seems to be having a rough day today.
Everybody, we're recording this on a Wednesday night. This could go for any day, though, so feel free to update as need be.
Some days are better. Did you see that New York Times op-ed?
I didn't see it. I heard about it, though.
Ah, it's pretty good. Like, essentially, the claim is there's somebody in the cabinet wrote this letter to the New York Times anonymously, and they're saying they're all, like, basically working against Trump because he's so, like, out of control and crazy. And the rumor is that it is Mike Pence who wrote the article.
Yeah, it's not Mike Pence. It's not.
I'm telling you, that's a rumor.
I know. It's just people masturbating. It's just lefties masturbating, trying to think of, like, the craziest thing they could come up with. Like, oh, wouldn't it be great if it was Pence?
Want it to be Linda McMahon. And Vince can finally get back at Trump for beating him at WrestleMania. Like, Vince wants to get his win back and get his heat back.
Honest to goodness, it probably is somebody like Linda, where they can call, like, guys, yeah, she's a senior administration official. And it's just like, okay, for whoever this person is, legitimately should be tried for treason. I mean, honestly, we should all be terrified that there are people who are bragging that they are trying to go against a democratically elected president. This person's not been elected anything. The people have not given this person any authority to do the actions they're doing. This is a coup. This is what an actual coup looks like. And it's Trump, and everybody thinks it's funny, and nothing feels real because it's Trump, and I get that. But, like, this is terrifying, if it's true. I don't think it's true.
Let's back up. If you were a cabinet member, what do you do if you think the president is nuts and out of control?
Well, it's called the 25th Amendment.
Tell me more.
The 25th Amendment allows for the removal of a president due to incapacitation, and that could be interpreted as including mental incapacitation. Outside of that, there are 1,000 ways to remove a president. Impeachment, voting against him, telling the world who you are. If this is a real thing, you have to put your name on it. Like, I have no problem. Look, if somebody thinks he's incompetent and they want to leave the administration and tell everybody, I'm on board with it. That's fine. Like, I may think you're a political opportunist or whatever, but that's part for the course, and I'd be like, hey, you put your name to it. But if you're just writing something anonymously and then saying that you're going to secretly work behind the president's back, don't worry, everybody, I got it all under control, that's just horseshit. You either come out or you shut the fuck up. Like, that's real horseshit.
Well, the claim was that they couldn't use the 25th Amendment or something.
That he's not actually that out of control. Like, okay. He's not. Like, I'm sorry. If he's not mentally incapacitated, then Donald Trump is being Donald Trump. And that's who people chose. You may not like it. People may not like that Donald Trump got elected president. But until we have evidence that this, you know, it was fraudulently acquired through Russia or whatever, we have to... I'm sorry, but he's the president of the United States. And if the American people want a crazy guy to be president, they get it. Otherwise, because the moment we stop letting people decide, then we don't have a representative government. We just have an oligarchy.
Yeah, I mean, this piece said that the cabinet considered invoking the 25th Amendment to remove Trump from office because he was so dangerously unfit for the job.
Well, then they didn't. Then they decided that it wasn't good enough. I'm sorry, they considered it? In theory, everybody who... I assure you, every single cabinet member in Obama's administration probably considered it, because they all thought, you know, I would be president if I got them declared incompetent. And then they went, oh, wait, it doesn't actually pay off. Also, I like the idea that the entire cabinet all convened and had, like, some vote about this or some shit. Fuck off. This just reads like horse shit. It reads like something that, like... It's like the modern-day equivalent of Penthouse Forum for left-wing nut jobs. Or what I've seen more, and this could be more plausible, it was written by somebody who is sympathetic to the more extreme side of Trump's cabinet. Because what's the likely result of this? It's Trump hardens his stances and everything, shuts down even more, and has more distrust. Like, this isn't done by somebody that wants anything good to happen.
So in the article, the paragraph about the 25th Amendment, given the instability many witnessed, there were early whispers within the cabinet of invoking the 25th Amendment, which would start a complex process for removing the president, but no one wanted to precipitate a constitutional crisis. So we will do what we can to steer the administration in the right direction until one way or another it's over.
Okay, I read a piece today in The Atlantic by David Frum, who is a speechwriter for Bush, but, you know, hates Trump, right? And
right.
He pointed out, this is not a constitutional crisis is, by definition, the guy who is trying to subvert the will of the people as espoused by the Constitution. A constitutional crisis is not, hey, the parts of the Constitution that say we can get rid of them, hey, that's not good enough yet. Like, no, that's adhering to the Constitution. Look, I don't think any of this is real. I think whoever this is not, like, really somebody in the inner circle. Whoever wrote it isn't really anything. It sounds like it's sour grapes or some weird shit like that. And you know what? In early days of the administration were chaotic. And honestly, a lot of these guys probably didn't understand Trump. Now that he's been there for a while, they go, oh, okay, we get how Trump works.
I like the Woodward stuff, the stuff in that book, too. That sounded pretty funny. Do you see any of those like quotes they pulled from his book?
What I saw from the book was kind of what I expected, which is Donald Trump is kind of weird, and people are, you know, like his White House is crazy. Like, there's nothing new from what I can tell, though. Like, seriously, it's Donald Trump. Like, his White House is nuts. Like,
yeah.
It's not like, it's like if Woodward had written a book like this and it had been about Obama's administration, you'd be like, holy shit, I never, because nobody would have seen that coming. Like, if Obama's administration was, like, marked by people, like, stealing shit from him and whispering and doing this and that, you'd be like, wow, he really kept it under control. But, like, I'm surprised that there aren't, like, anecdotes about, like, Pence putting a whoopee cushion on Trump's seat or something like that.
I like that they steal his paperwork off his desk so he'll forget about things.
Like, that really happened. Again, these all sound like the details like of a caricature of Trump.
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of it's context too. Like, I'm sure Trump says fucked up shit, and I mean he does in public, and I can imagine what it's like behind closed doors. But like sometimes if you just hear the quote and you don't have the context, you don't really get what was going on or whatever. Like, everybody has a bad day and says stupid shit.
Especially if you're the president, you're the one person in the room that doesn't actually have to give other people context because you have so much more information than other people that oftentimes you might say things and they go, that sounds kind of crazy. But you're like, later on you're like, oh, that's why he was saying that he hates all the blacks. I don't really know what the context would be on that one, but it could happen.
It just feels like stuff's like ramping up again with Kavanaugh and all this bullshit, but I don't know.
My guess is that this stuff, I don't think it's a coincidence that this stuff ramps up right around when Kavanaugh comes out. Big, important, actual stuff is happening. Somebody's trying to knock it down, trying to stop it.
Yeah, but it's weird. Like, what do you think of, like, the argument that, like, Trump being under investigation or whatever, he shouldn't even be allowed to pick a Supreme Court nominee or whatever?
No, he's still president. That's not a thing. Yeah. Like, yeah. This is your, again...
Like, I know there's not a law or a precedent for that. I'm just saying, like, ethically, do you think it's an issue?
He doesn't pick this nominee. He nominates it, and then the Senate confirms. Like, if this was just like...
That's true. You're right.
I could understand an argument. I would disagree, but I could accept an argument if it was just Trump picking it. But you got to get 51 people to agree. And these are very, very wise people who put a lot of thought into this.
How about, did you think it was weird when, like, they wouldn't vote on Obama's pick after, that weird guy died at the Colts, Scalia?
I saw, it was like a judgment call one there, and, like...
Judgment call!
like, politically, yeah. And, I mean, I would expect both sides to do something similar in that situation, so... And the benefit in my side, so I'm not going
to
pitch.
No, but right, but to me it just seems like waiting a year to pick a justice. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, at the same time, though, it wouldn't have really mattered because...
Were they not in session or something?
No, the Republicans had control of the Senate. All they would have to do is just not just reject the nominee.
Yeah, just over and over again?
Yeah, I mean, practically there's no real difference. Like, you confirm the nominees earlier on because you don't have a choice. Like, you can't, in all reality, keep it going forever because you can always just appoint recess appointments. But there would have been no time for that. So, again, my side won, and we're going to get that Supreme Court up to, like, 8-1. We're just going to start fucking just, like, destroying women. They're not going to see their own vaginas after we're done with that court.
Interesting.
Yeah, we're just going to lock that shit up.
What did you think of Kavanaugh's assistant or whatever throwing up the white supremacy sign during his hearing yesterday?
Oh, yeah, the woman whose father's from Mexico and her other grandfather was a Holocaust survivor. Big fucking white supremacist there. The whole world has lost its fucking mind. People burning their shoes, and they think that the OK symbol is being flashed by this brown Jew in support of white supremacy. And I love shit like this, because you see, like, the right-wing people do this during Obama's time, too. There's always this idea that these world leaders, the only way they can communicate is through hand gestures on television. Like, that's what she has to do? That's the only way she can let people know that she's okay with the guy? Like, she had to get right there on TV and hope that everybody would know, oh, look at that, she made the hand signal down there. Oh, she's one of us, wink, wink. Yeah.
The best part, I watched, like, a slow motion clip of it, and she's sitting there normal. Like, this is, obviously, I'm not buying into this, but it's like, I always forget his name, Eddie Bravo bullshit. But yeah. She gets a text on her phone, she looks down at it, reads the text, looks back up, and then puts her arm back, her other arm that was holding the phone, in the okay side. So good. It's like, it was funny. I laughed.
My favorite is the number of people that, like, it's weird because I've seen people do the thing, and they're clearly doing it as just trolls. Again, I've never once seen someone do it as an actual, like, yeah, man, like, I'm letting you know. I'm with you. Come on. If the moment everybody knows the secret handshake, it's not a secret handshake. And that's the whole point of the secret handshake. Otherwise, like, if you're letting the whole world know, like, look at me, I'm telling everybody I'm down with white power, you could just say it. You don't have to use a secret finger wave. Like, look at Trump. He's not using these codes.
What did you think of Nike's ad with Colin Kaepernick?
I've only seen the print ad version, which was brilliant.
Yeah, there's actually a good, a decent commercial, too, with, like, a bunch of, like, you know, Nike athletes, Serena Williams, and different people who are, like, really good at whatever sport they do. It was pretty good. Like, I mean, it was well done.
Smart campaign.
There was something like this happened recently, and I know I made fun of people who do this, but I can't understand the logic. Like, I get that it's a protest, like, and it doesn't really matter what you're protesting, but if you've already bought something from a company, they've already gotten your money, there's no point in destroying the stuff, no matter what it is.
Well,
it's baffling.
I can argue it, and here's how it goes. You
can argue anything, by the way. Yeah, it doesn't mean it's going to be a good argument, but go for it.
Mine will be. You bought the Nike shoes back when Nike was just cool with Michael Jordan. You're like, yeah, I like Nike. Then you find out that Nike sucks, and you're like, oh, shit, I hate Nike. I don't want to support Nike anymore. What are your choices? You don't want to give the shoes away because you don't want Nike to get any benefit at all. You don't want anybody in the world to enjoy Nike products. So you could either throw it away. I mean, you could just say put it in the closet, but that's the same thing as throwing it away. Or you could burn it and get a little bit of entertainment out of it. I kind of get that. Like, you're so angry. Like, think about like football jerseys. People are like, oh, you burned it. It's like, are you gonna really ever wear that jersey again?
Do you think people should be mad that Colin Kaepernick's in a Nike commercial?
People can feel what they want on it.
It's so weird.
I think the whole thing is just weird.
Because there's so much hypocrisy involved with it, it drives me fucking crazy. Like, I just like people to be consistent. Like, I think you kind of know that about me. It's like, just be consistent and be real. And it's just like, this right-wing conservative side is like big, like civil liberties, freedom of speech. Like, you have these fundamental rights.
Yes.
But then when Colin Kaepernick decides he doesn't want to stand for the national anthem and express himself and use freedom of speech to bring up an issue that he thinks is important but isn't necessarily important to them, it's like, fuck him. Fuck Nike for supporting him. It's just like, he's not, like, what he's doing hurts no one. It hurts no one. And every time somebody burns a pair of shoes and puts it on Twitter or whatever, it just draws more attention to Kaepernick and his cause. Like, he would go away if people stopped talking about him and got pissed and weren't so pissed about it. It's so dumb, and it's just like, it like epitomizes what goes on in politics in the United States right now. It's just ludicrous.
Well, this isn't involved. What do you say when conservatives complain about Twitter shutting them down? It's a private company, right?
Mm-hmm.
NFL's a private organization.
Mm-hmm.
Nike's a private company. And these people are private individuals. And they're telling a private company, we don't want you to do this anymore. This is not a First Amendment issue at all. The First Amendment only applies when it comes to the government. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only when you see all these right-wing conservatives bitching about this for the most part, who mm-hmm. Ben Shapiro and all that, they're getting shut out from government campuses. It's government reforms. It's government actually doing it. It's not private companies. Now, yes, the private companies are getting a lot of attention right now on some of these fucking whiners who aren't principal conservatives at all, don't understand what the fuck they're talking about, and just shut the fuck up. I think that Colin Kaepernick here, I think it's funny as shit that I'm supposed to think that this guy has some big sacrifice everything if you believe in it. It's like, you're getting paid. You've been getting paid by Nike the whole time. This
mm-hmm.
isn't, you haven't lost shit. You're a crap-ass quarterback who is not going to get a starting job the next year anyways. And you probably would not be playing football right now. He's a bigger star than ever, and he has benefited enormously from all this. Like, I'm sorry. The only way what upsets me about this is simply the spin from Nike. They're feeding the bullshit lie that Colin Kaepernick has suffered. that this is like that he was like at the top of the game and he took like he's a Muhammad Ali type. No, he sucked and he was gonna suck. And I'm not saying that the protest thing helped him all the time, but no, this guy was a below average crap quarterback.
Don't you think though that some teams stayed away from him as like a backup or something? Like he went to a Super Bowl like a couple years prior. He wasn't like garbage. He might have got worse or whatever.
That presumes that he would have accepted a backup role. Some of the early reports were that he wouldn't. I know that he was traded to the Broncos and he refused to rework his deal to get more playing time. He wouldn't compete. You know, I'm sure that if he had really wanted to, but also if you're the backup quarterback, part of your job is to shut up and not make noise.
Yeah.
Nobody wants a backup quarterback who draws attention to the team.
I mean, I think the argument was a lot of teams stayed away from him because they didn't want to deal with the controversy and the bullshit, which is their right. I'm not even saying a team has to hire him. They don't have to. You can hire whoever you want for whatever job you want, and that's okay. If you want to work here, you have to follow these rules. Great, no problem. I can't follow those rules? Okay, I won't work for you. Fine, whatever. I'm cool with all that. It's just like, you shouldn't have to stand for the national anthem if you don't want to. Like, it's ridiculous. I don't think we should be forcing other people to do that shit because it's a victimless crime. Nobody gets hurt if you lay down during the national anthem or if you take a piss.
It's not a victimless crime because it's not a fucking crime.
Right, but
it's not a thing. Like, I agree. I don't think they should play the fucking national anthem. I don't know why they do. It doesn't make any sense. It's not a national event. It makes sense if it involves nations. But you're not playing. You're playing football. That's it. It's not a school event. Is they play it before a school event? Like, at least they could be like, well, it's school. Like, it's a government thing or whatever. Like, it's the Chicago Bears playing the Detroit Lions. There's nothing patriotic about this. It's kind of a shameful event for everyone involved.
Yeah. I mean, the other part of it, too, was like some like soldier or ex-Marine or something told Kaepernick the best way to protest and still show respect for the country is to take a knee. He was basing it off. Yeah. I know, but I'm just saying, like, it kind of sounded like he had good intentions, and he's like public enemy number one. I think it's stupid.
I think it's complete. No, it's not stupid, and here's why.
Okay.
You can't be an effective protest if it doesn't tug at people's emotions. If people get angry at what you're doing, you can't tell me that, like, they shouldn't get angry, because the whole point is you're doing it because you want them to get angry. That's it. This only is a thing because...
He was doing it to troll people to get them mad?
Let's just say it's to stir an emotion, whatever it is. You don't kneel when the national anthem is played unless you're making a statement. Mm-hmm. And if people react to your statement, that's the point of your statement. You don't get to say something and then say something that you know is inflammatory. Because if it wasn't inflammatory, you wouldn't need to make the statement.
But you can read...
Nobody makes statements saying, I'm opposed to child molestation. I'm gonna protest child molestation.
Like, what's the appropriate reaction to what he's doing? Is it telling him to, like, he should be fired, you son of a bitch, or whatever Trump said about him, get him out of here?
Trump's saying something's a different story. I don't think Trump should say anything. He's a public official. I think he should shut the fuck up. Should not get involved in this at all. I think it's improper and it's poor use. I think it's that's actually probably unconstitutional. I really do think. I think it's wrong.
Okay.
I can't say it. Otherwise, to me, people's reaction is it is what it is. Like, look, the flag means things to different things to different people. And
I understand that.
No. Here's the thing, though. You have to understand. You can say you understand it, but you have to understand that means that they're going to react differently to it. And you can't condemn their reaction. If you understand, you can't just understand that they have different reactions. You should try to understand their reaction. Mm-hmm. Why does somebody get upset by this? And I think
I do.
And I think that Colin Kaepernick, and I think the people on the other side should look at Colin Kaepernick and go, okay, what's he trying to do here? I think everybody would just do better to talk more about it.
Sure. No, and it's not like his cause is some outrageous thing. I think most people can see there's some issues there with police brutality and how minorities are treated by the cops. I think most people can agree on that. That, you know,
is
what?
That what
there might be. Yes.
Well, here's the, you say that, but Trump's now suddenly people aren't going to the White House. Are all these people kneeling for that reason? Because a lot of them keep saying totally different things, and I have no idea anymore.
I mean, the initial reason was, like, the police shootings.
Right,
and,
the initial
you know,
reason
unarmed,
was,
but... unarmed black kids getting shot. And it's
yeah,
like...
nobody cares about that anymore.
It'll be something else tomorrow. Like,
look,
but
look,
it's just
the
like...
Booker by Crook, it's about Trump now. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Like, I get the flag as a symbol. It's important to people. It's like, I always stand during the national anthem. I'm not sitting down. I take my hat off.
Why do you stand and take your hat off, though?
Because it shows respect to the flag and the country.
Why do you show respect for the flag?
Because it's a symbol of the United States of America.
Why are you
respecting
that?
Because I like the United States, and I like living here. I think it's a pretty good country in the whole scheme of things around the world.
Great. And he's protesting that. On some level.
He's not protesting that. He's protesting a totally separate issue in a way that I think he thought was respectful but would still draw attention to his cause. Which I don't think should necessarily be condemned.
But what is his message by kneeling during the anthem?
I think he's trying to draw attention to, you know, cops being racist and shooting black people.
I understand the cause, but why?
Could he do it another way? Yes, he could do it another way. But clearly, this way was pretty fucking effective because we're still talking about it 3 years later.
It's only effective because people are getting angry. But you can't then tell people not to get angry if you want it to be effective.
If people wanted to be ineffective, they'd stop talking about it.
I agree. I don't talk about it. I ignore the trolls. I never let them see that they got to you.
Kim Kardashian's trying to get another person out of jail.
It's a weird statement that sounds like it's absolutely going to happen.
The sentencing of Clarksville man Chris Young wasn't decided lightly. Even the former federal judge who decided his fate in 2014 admitted the punishment didn't fit the crime. Now Kim Kardashian has been advocating for Young's release and was at the White House on Wednesday for a meeting on prison reform. Young was sentenced to life in prison 4 years ago for drug-related charges. Kardashian has approached Trump before in the hopes of releasing someone with a life sentence from prison. In May, she discussed prison reform with the president. A week later, he granted clemency to Alice Marie Johnson, a Memphis woman who served 22 years in prison for a first-time drug offense. So she's basically trying to get somebody out of jail again.
You know, it sounds like she's doing good work, actually, here. This is, you know, really helping some innocent people. But I really hope that she's just a figurehead or a face for all this, because there's a reason a lot of these people are in jail, and you got to be real fucking careful on that one. Because, look, the responsibility is hers, because Trump's just going to do whatever she asks.
It's weird, isn't it? It's really weird.
By the way, if I was an inmate and I was like on death row or whatever, and I could somehow talk to her, I'd just be like, "Look, just go and talk to him the day that something really bad happens, and he needs some good publicity with a black guy."
Young was one of 32 people charged by federal prosecutors in December 2010 for drug offenses. Prosecutors believe they were involved in drug trafficking in Clarksville, and that Young was buying crack from a leader of the ring at a gas station. He was charged with conspiracy to distribute cocaine and crack cocaine, among other charges. The new charges triggered the federal three strikes law, which requires a mandatory life term if the defendant is found guilty. Because Young had two prior drug dealing convictions, the three strikes law was triggered. He was convicted in August 2013 and sentenced the next year to life in prison.
Yeah, I don't know. Three strikes thing, it always sounds like, you know, we hear these stories and there are all of these horror stories from it. But I also acknowledge that when those three strike laws were put into effect, the world probably looked a lot different. And they probably have, on the whole, done good. That said, I don't like them. I think that every crime and every action should be judged independent of the others.
Right. Yeah. His attorney said Chris Young is serving life without parole for a low-level role in a drug case. The unspeakable cruelty of Chris being set to never breathe air as a free man again epitomizes a failed system thriving off human misery.
Yeah, no, it sucks. I hope he gets out. I think. I don't know. Again, I don't know the whole all the facts in there. It'll probably turn out it's like, yes, but his previous two felony convictions were for molesting children or something.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a good one. I can get it to open. I'm going from Kim Kardashian West to Chris Brown. Yes. Remember when he beat up Rihanna?
Beat the fuck out of that girl.
It was odd. What I think I don't get why you. And shit. I don't get why you do that to people.
It's frustration inside. They don't know how to express anything. And they don't even know that they don't know. That's the thing. Like, we can all say things like, oh, I don't know how to say that. Like, I have an idea. I don't express it. I'm not a good writer. But these are people that, like, they feel something, and they don't even really understand what they're feeling, let alone how to, you know, verbalize it. And, like, there's a frustration. Like I felt that myself in the past, and, like, I've realized, like, in bad relationships, and, like, if I was dating a girl and I didn't want to be dating her anymore, I would get really, really angry at little things. And the truth is that I was just, you know, acting out or some shit like that, and it was pathetic. And I'm a sad little man.
Well, at least you sound more self-aware, so that's good.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Another sad little man is Chris Brown. He thinks giving his baby's mama more child support will spoil their four-year-old daughter. Nia Guzman, who recently hired a new attorney to fight Brown, is seeking $21,000 per month and $250,000 in retroactive child support. But Chris Brown isn't giving in, claiming Guzman is financially set thanks to her own income, the support he already pays, and the spousal support she receives from a prior marriage. The site reports that Brown already gives her $6,000 a month for private school, medical expenses, and a nanny, and also pays upwards of $3,000 for travel, entertainment, and extracurricular activities. In documents filed by Brown, he says that providing a four-year-old with everything she demands could be harmful and is not in her best interest. He's willing to give her $9,813 per month, but not the $21,000 she is asking for.
Yeah, it's just a math question. Like, it sounds like it's more, but it seems she'd be mostly statutory, and the mom is, obviously she's trying to get more money for herself, but at the same time, he's not about her, it's about your kid. Sorry, you know, if you don't want to give your kid all this money, then, I don't know, don't have unprotected sex. Like, I've managed to not have any children.
Thank God.
Yeah.
There is no God. Anyway, $21,000 sounds like a lot of money to me. Like, granted, maybe it's not for Chris Brown, but I don't know how many kids he has and that sort of thing. But $21,000, what is that? That's like $250,000 a year, right?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money to raise a kid.
20%?
I do it on way less than that.
20%. That's it.
You know, is that the standard?
In Illinois, it's 20%, and I think that's generally about what it is. For the first kid, 20%. Second kid, it gets raised to 28, I think, and then 32, and then 40, and after that, that's where it stops.
So that's like after taxes, obviously?
It's
got to be.
Yes. FICA.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Huh, I had no idea.
Interesting. Yeah, a lot of that, they did that so they would stop these fights. They didn't want people to argue, hey, the kid can live on less or whatever. It's just like, right. No, like, this is your duty. And remember, child support doesn't go to the mom. It goes to the kid. And that's
right.
It. And yes, right. The mom doesn't need all this money. But guess what? Your kid, if you're the child of Chris Brown, you get to live like the kid of Chris Brown. Because you're Chris Brown's kid.
Right. I think I'll probably do it on $9,000 too. Is every state different? Is that just Illinois that's 20%?
Yeah, every state it's everything state by state. But again, it's most states around the country are pretty uniform on this stuff. So my guess is California is around 20%. And although California is a fucking bunch of weirdos out there, they got all kinds of weird shit in their laws. So maybe not.
You can go to jail if you, it's not official yet, but it's like a bill they want to pass. If you just give customers straws at restaurants in California.
Yeah, I know.
And plastic bags. Have we talked about that?
Yeah, and plastic bags and stuff. And they just got something against plastic.
Well, there's this video of this turtle with a straw in its nose that went viral and was like a big deal, I guess. And, I mean, the straw thing was huge everywhere. But, like, I've been places out to eat with my kids where they will give you a plastic cup with a lid with a paper straw in it. I'm like, this is so stupid. Like, there's so much plastic with the cup and the cover than the fucking straw. And it's like, these places aren't recycling this shit. They're just throwing it out. And it's just like, why give a paper straw with a plastic cup? It's so dumb. But people don't get that. And they don't read the whole story.
That explains everything about the world right now. People do not really understand why they're doing things. They're just doing what they're told.
I also think it's a headline culture. People read the headlines, or they don't read the whole story, or they don't really think about it.
Yeah. I've been realizing that lately. Like, the other day, I kind of joked on Twitter, but I think it's true that a lot of journalists are just kind of beginning to realize that nobody reads their stories. All anybody's right. ever read is a headline.
Right.
And well, it gives all the information.
It was like that thing... What's-his-face, Chris there posted the other day with the woman breastfeeding.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good. Like, I show that to multiple people, and people are like, I don't get it. I'm like, read the whole thing. I'm like, I'm showing this to you to read the whole thing.
Especially, like, these days when, like, I don't know, like, I feel like as a culture, maybe it's just me, but, like, internet culture, as soon as you see something obvious, you always know it's not.
Right.
That's just the first rule of the internet. If it seems like that doesn't make any sense, it doesn't make any sense.
Right. It was also weird that she did have those flip-flops on the table.
Yeah, I know. Great shit, though.
In other news, what is this? Merriam-Webster came out with 840 more words to be added to the dictionary today.
Oh, good. I thought we were a little light.
The list is heavy on food-related terms, like hangry. Do you know what hangry means?
Yeah, when you get angry because you're hungry.
Yes. How about...
Gastropub.
Mise en poix.
Let's say that again.
Mise en poix.
Mise en poix. That sounds like French origin. Mise en...
It is.
Mise en poix. Poix. To cry or rain or something like that?
A culinary process in which ingredients are prepared and organized before cooking. Oh. So it basically means you have all your shit together so you can cook quickly, essentially. Do you know what a zoodle is?
Sounds like some sort of designer dog.
That's a good guess. It's a long, thin strip of zucchini that resembles a string or narrow ribbon of pasta.
Okay.
These are all in the dictionary now.
Do we have, like, names for all of our vegetables that we slice up really thin?
No, zoodles are like if you're trying to stay away from, like, carbs or something, you would have, like, these zucchini noodles, essentially. It would take the place of the pasta if you didn't want gluten or carbs or whatever. What else? Do you know what a hophead is?
Yeah, a drug addict.
A beer enthusiast.
Yeah. I think some beer.
Who knows what to do? Do you know what a flight is? Not flying a plane.
As in, like,
if you go out
flight?
To eat. Yeah! Good job.
Of course I know the
line. A selection of alcoholic drinks for tasting as a group.
That's a new addition to the dictionary?
Yeah.
How the fuck hasn't that been in the dictionary?
You don't know. They probably just referred to planes. The dictionary has added a definition for airplane mode.
Okay.
It's defined as an operating mode for an electronic device in which the device does not connect to wireless networks and cannot send or receive communications or across the internet but remains usable for other functions.
You know, as silly as some of this does sound, I guess that is kind of something you would add to the dictionary. Because you think of it like, we know what airplane mode means, but if you didn't know how what airplane mode meant, How'd you find out? Like any other word, if you don't know what the word meant, you just go to the dictionary. So I guess they gotta stay relevant somehow.
Many of the new words are popular with young people, both millennials and members of Generation Z.
Yeah, let these morons decide how the world sounds.
These include words like fave, rando, and time suck.
Okay, these aren't words. These are just shortened versions of words. This is just slang. Slang isn't a word. Only fave only works. What's the definition of fave? Favorite. Oh, yeah, gee, I wonder where they got that from. I hate kids.
Rando is a person who is not known or recognizable or whose appearance seems unprompted or unwelcome.
The moment you define a word in the dictionary, I'm pretty sure that's the moment that the teenagers stop using it.
Okay. We're hurting
We're going
here.
long tonight.
I need a new laptop.
We should wrap this up.
No, I got three more, but we'll go
Ugh.
through them quick. This is where it gets good. We got sidetracked with Kaepernick. I apologize. That was kind of my fault.
It's really the anchor's fault, but whatever.
If you were going to go and rob a sneaker store, how would you do it?
Quietly?
That would be a good idea.
I would buy some sneakers first so that I'd be better at sneaking around.
Thieves broke into Clean Soles, which specializes in sales, trades, and customizing sneakers, on July 20th and again on August 25th, stealing 13 right foot shoes, one complete pair, and apparel. Unless you have two right feet, Rob Wickham, the store owner, told the Times, they're pretty much risking their freedom for nothing. While the right shoes are kept on display, he said the left shoes are kept in a room behind the counter. So
I'm
these.
guessing this is a black area.
A 17-year-old was arrested and charged with burglary and grand larceny in connection with the July 20th break-in. Can you imagine going into a shoe store and just taking all the shoes like off the display? Like, what the
Actually, I
fuck are you
can.
doing?
I can because I think what would happen is you have the idea I'm going to rob this shoe store. By the way, everybody, that was not a racist thing. I guarantee you these people are black. It's not because it's just black culture likes shoes. That's why Nike's doing the Kaepernick thing. If 50-year-old men bought Nikes, I guarantee you Kaepernick would not be the face of Nike. Anyways, yeah, I could totally see this because you'd break into the store thinking, I'm going to rob this store and get shoes. And then when you get in there, you're like, oh, fuck, I can't get the other shoes. Then you just grab whatever you can because why not? I totally understand, like, once you break into a place, you might as well just grab everything you can.
But what are you going to do with a bunch of left foot shoes?
Cares? It's free shit. Maybe you burn it. Maybe make a YouTube video.
You can't. You can only one wear one shoe at a time.
Also, they probably just grabbed stuff off the wall and didn't realize what they had. And then they got
Right.
back and they're like, ah, shit.
What a waste. But then they went back and tried
There are
again.
people stealing shoes. Like, they're risking their freedom to steal some shoes.
Times are tough.
Yeah, they're so tough. Your $130 Air Jordans or whatever. My shoes cost $50 on Amazon.
You're part of the problem. You should be buying locally.
Actually, they weren't. My last pair of shoes. And oh yeah, they were $50 about. Yeah.
You should go to your local cobbler and get new shoes.
That son of a bitch touched me once upon a time, and I'm not going back. That took a turn.
State police now say a deadly crash in Pennsylvania was a homicide. According to troopers, John Jenkins, 39, admitted to cutting the brake lines of Tammy Fox's car last week. Fox 38 was killed when her car hit parked cars and then slammed into a tree on August 22nd. Jenkins reportedly said he tampered with his girlfriend's car the day before she died. According to court papers, Jenkins and Fox were together the night before the crash, and he said Fox was driving him crazy over a pipe to smoke crack. I just never bought that it was just an accident, said Lisa Vargas, a friend of the victim. I knew it in my heart, and I just want justice for her. I really do. Vargas and Fox were friends for more than 2 decades. Vargas says she hadn't met Jenkins, but had a bad feeling about him. Jenkins reportedly said he has no knowledge of cars, but cut anything from underneath the vehicle that could be used to smoke crack.
There's a lot to unpack.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, your friend is a crackhead. So you really shouldn't be surprised if they die in a weird way. Like, also, you are right to suspect, like, if your friend is a crackhead, any man that is, like, interested in your friend, you should be suspicious of, because, again, he's dating a crackhead, so there's clearly not something right with him. But the problem with all this is that your friend is a crackhead. And this other guy, I'm guessing, also a crackhead. Just a guess. And I don't think any of these people, either of them, really knew what was going on. Because, you know, on account of all the crack cocaine in their body.
The victim's friends don't buy that logic. I mean, can't you find something else around your house to smoke crack in? Aluminum foil? Something else? I'm pretty sure if you're a career crackhead, you can find something else besides a brake line to smoke crack in, Vargas said.
Yeah, it's weird when our crackheads aren't thinking right. I mean, if you can't expect a crackhead to have his head on straight, I don't know.
She does raise a point, though. Like, your girlfriend's bugging you to smoke crack, so you think you're going to crawl under the car and cut off chunks of the car to smoke crack in, and one of the things you cut off is the brake line?
Here's the thing. I'm going to have to plead ignorant at a certain point. Like, I know what a crack pipe looks like, but I don't really know what else you smoke. I guess you could smoke it out like you would a bong, but I don't know. Maybe cars' pipes are good for smoking crack. I don't really know what the best way to smoke crack is. And if, right. Honestly, if a crackhead says, this is how I wanted to smoke crack, I'm going to be like, well, you're the expert.
Trump's demanding that the New York Times reveal their anonymous official.
Of course he is.
Can he do that?
He can say anything he wants. If he's not actually, like, trying to, like, enforce his crazy tweets, then it doesn't mean shit. Mm-hmm. Like, if he sends the FBI there, or he tries to arrest them, or whatever, yeah. But otherwise, it's just Trump saying, you should give it to me. Okay.
Right. Never hurts to ask, right?
Right, why not? I don't know.
And then lastly, overdoses.
By the way, keep in mind that politicians do ask the press for stuff like this all the time. They just tend not to do it on Twitter. Obama just used like an intermediary. Trump just, you know, his chosen medium is a little different.
And in our last drug-related story of the evening, overdoses lead police to alleged drug house that had drive-through window. Four drug overdoses led police last week to raid a drug house that had a drive-through and walk-up window, the Ocala Police Department said. Police said William Parrish Jr. and Mackenzie Dobbs were selling drugs out of a mobile home on Northwest 23rd Place near Northwest 35th Avenue Road and Northwest 21st Street. You ever been there?
No, I've been to the east-west and the southwest, but not the northwest.
Investigators said the home had signs indicating when it was open or closed for business.
You just cut out. You moved something. Something touched. Hey, everybody. I don't think Matt knows that I can't hear him. And
now.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah. I could hear you. That was weird.
I knew that.
My fat elbow hit the cord. Yeah. Investigators said the home had signs indicating when it was open or closed for business and signs directing motorists where to drive. Police said the couple transformed a kitchen window into a drive-through window because it didn't want to draw attention by having customers regularly entering and exiting the home.
It's always drug addict logic is, well, I don't want people walking in and out of my house. So I'll just have them drive through the window. Yeah, that won't attract attention when you're... and your next-door neighbors all of a sudden have a drive-through window. Yeah. And we wonder why the crackhead was taking about cars to smoke crack. However, it's not the worst idea.
I mean, it's convenient. We were seeing some overdose incidents that were happening in this particular area, specifically at this particular location. There were some heroin sales that were going on there. Subsequently, through the investigation, we were able to determine the product was laced with fentanyl. The suspects were arrested August 23rd on multiple charges, including drug possession, selling drugs, and keeping or maintaining a dwelling used to keep or sell drugs. There's pictures of the home online. It doesn't look that nice. Looks a little run down. I'll be honest. It looks a little run down. It could use a coat of paint.
Who are you to judge?
I don't know. I've painted my house a couple times. I think I'm a fair judge.
Have you ever painted your house having used it to sell drugs?
No, but...
Do you know anything about maintaining a residence in such a fashion to attract the drug-using clientele?
No,
you do not, sir. So they would not tell you how to serve a filet mignon. Do not tell them how to sell drive-through crack cocaine.
I think people want to feel comfortable when they're buying their fentanyl, and you could probably get a little more money for it if you dress the place up, maybe, you know, replace some of that rotting trim, got some stain on those shingles, you could probably get more money.
I can actually guarantee you, you would not get more money. If you're trying to buy anything, if you're trying to buy heroin, you're not really concerned with what the decor looks like. You're just hoping that they let you, like, fall on the ground and not get peed on by a dog.
Yeah, I wasn't being genuine. And finally, last but not least, a 42-year-old Orlando man was arrested Thursday evening, 10 days after he shot up a home after one of its residents complained about an experience at a restaurant. On August 20th, deputies were called to a home on Milford Avenue near Holden and South Orange Avenues in Holden Heights after Norman Ulville, riding in an SUV driven by Michael Johnson, the restaurant owner's son, shot the home three times before Johnson drove away. The report said one of the bullets pierced a window, narrowly missing the head of Kenneth Wally, who was watching TV in the living room. "I actually could feel the air from the bullet as it passed by me," Wally told Channel 9 on Friday. "Missed me by about 4 inches. On August 19th,
Diaz brother to be involved in this somehow.
On August 19th, Wally's wife, Diana Wally, had been denied service at the Daybreak Diner at South Crystal Lake Drive, so their daughter, Monica Wally, called the diner and spoke with several workers about her mother's visit. Monica Wally told Channel 9 that she left a negative review on Facebook after her disabled mother was denied service on her birthday. She said the restaurant workers were unnecessarily rude.
Well, that's not right. I mean, was there a certain amount of rudeness that was necessary?
"It's my right to be able to tell others what my experience is and what happened and stand up for my mother. I think that anybody in my shoes would have done the same thing." According to the report, Monica Wally was unsatisfied with the diner's response, so she launched a social media campaign against the diner, alleging that they mistreated her mother because of a disability. The social media campaign resulted in negative online reviews, negative social media posts, and harassing and angry phone calls to the restaurant. The restaurant's owner, Lizbeth Johnson, later stated she felt that day that her business was ruined as a result of the negative social media campaign.
Look, lady, if one nut job tanks your whole restaurant, you're fucked anyway.
The report said Knight and Michael Johnson had been driving a 2013 white Ford Flex registered to Knight's father. The SUV matched the description of the one recorded by a surveillance camera approaching the shooting scene. Investigators said Michael Johnson and Jesse Martin told them that on August 20th they were drinking beer with Oval at the home where they all live. Deputies said the men were angry about the damage to the diner's reputation and the negative social media campaign. So Martin used an internet search engine to determine Monica Wally's identity from her Facebook post and to find her address. Then they went and shot it up.
Well, if you think that people aren't going to come eat at your restaurant due to a negative review, I don't really know how they're going to respond to murder.
Can you imagine, like...
Although, as a restaurateur, how much did some part of you really sympathize and go, yeah, I get it?
None.
You've never read a review and been like, oh, fuck you.
No, there's been some weird ones. But at the same time, it's like, everybody's entitled to an opinion. And I'm not going to get violent over it. I'm going to try and spin it and make the best out of it or apologize. Because sometimes places do fuck up. You make mistakes, and sometimes you got to say, yeah, you know what, we messed up, we're sorry. Sometimes people have ridiculous complaints and say they got food poisoning from bottled water. But, like, I'm not going to go hunt them down and try and shoot up their house, no matter how many beers I've had.
Maybe you'd be more successful if you did.
I'd also be in jail.
Only if you get caught.
Yeah, these guys did. Anyway, that's all I got for this week.
All right, that's all I got, too. Let's pray that this all worked.
Yeah, it's going to be good if this didn't record.
Yeah, I'll shoot myself in the fucking head. Anyways, wow, everybody, this was
harsh.
MMA. This was MMA and stuff. I'm Mike. That's Matt, and we'll be back next week, hopefully for an hour and a half with Anchor FM making it work. And if that doesn't work, I'm gonna shoot the dog. What?
Oh, ugh. Shoot mine.
I'll shoot his dog too, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Bye.